Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 196 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap this week's nerd news. We're going to run through some entertainment topics with a recap of the current box office, discuss the early reviews for Morbius, and then the big Amazon and MGM merger is complete. Then we'll jump over into tech and talk about some killer drones, the big news around Bored Apes in the NFT world, and then a few topics in space. A lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, episode 196. Here we are, and this is just another week. Kind of no major releases. You know, it's February, March time. No, really not a lot of movies coming out. So we don't have recent reviews, unless you went and saw some obscure movie over the last week.
No, I can't say I did. I kind of missed the days of going and, you know, every week and having kind of major releases, you know, stacked up like this. But nope, just kind of waiting for Morbius. And yeah, it's been slow pickings, man.
Yeah, I mean, Batman still led the box office again. The latest numbers coming in for Batman just shows that it's a successful movie. It's sitting over $600 million worldwide now, and that's with like a very weak, like the article highlights the fact that compared to like pre-COVID, really weak numbers coming out of China still in the theaters. Like this is one of the highest movies in China, but it still is nothing compared to what that market used to bring in the box office. So overall, no, Batman's still just chugging along, still. Proven that it, I guess it worked. And
I mean, if history's told us anything, you slap a Batman symbol on a fucking turd and it's going to make money.
Like, that's also true.
It doesn't matter. They've rebooted this franchise. We've had how many different Batmen? Like, it's their golden goose. You know what I mean? Like, they just know that if we take some emo-ass fucking dude and throw him in a fucking Batsuit, people are going to love it or hate it, but either way, they're going to throw $16 down on the table to decide that opinion.
That, I mean, that is true. That's pretty much the state of kind of that Batman franchise. I mean, it's the state of really a lot of this major IP. That's why they keep
regurgitating. Well, it's the whole thing that's wrong with the number one. WB, right? Like, I mean, I'm a Cub fan, right? So the Tribune owned the Cubs for decades, and they knew people were going to come see that game. They didn't need to put a team on the field. Everyone thinks that it was just like unlucky that we didn't win a World Series for 100 years. It was like, no, a newspaper owned the fucking team. They needed to make a profit, and they knew they could make a profit without putting a fucking team on the field.
Chicago drunken fans were going to fill up the stands whether they were winning 60 games or 100 games. So didn't matter.
They threw a Cubs logo on a turd every fucking season and just raked in that cash. It's the same thing with WB. They got Wonder Woman, Superman, and Batman. They know that they can polish them turds any day, and people are going to sell out them theaters to come see them. So there's no real incentive for them to make the best movie possible, or it's just they have very low incentive to put together a quality film. They know it's an instant money printer.
They might be incentivized. It might be like a reverse incentive in the sense that it might just be easier for them to have it flop after two or three movies, because then they don't have to pay the big payday and be held hostage by whoever's playing the lead role. They can hit the reset button and go get new people, and then they generate new interest every single time.
Yep. I mean, it's you know, in a capitalist world, you can't blame them. You know, like you would hope that they care about the property and they would put some effort into it. I mean, I think they put more effort into this last one than they previously did. You know, Batfleck.
Yeah, they put it.
Batfleck is for sure. It's not in my top Batman.
Yeah. I like most of the time when you have the conversations about Batman, you just skip Batfleck altogether. It's like, oh well, you know, how's he fare against Christian Bale? It's like there were several Batflecks.
I mean, there's a lot of DC fans that think he was the best Batman, and it was just, you know, the writing and the everything. I don't know, man. It's really hard to call him like the worst when you got a Clooney and a Kilmer.
I was gonna say, yeah.
You know, like, and I'm OG, man. Like, I grew up on Ann West. Like none of y'all could touch that silly bastard. Like, for me, it's bam, boom, pow, bro. Like, I'm all about that life.
Well, it'll probably dominate the box office, or at least they'll hold the box office this week. And then next week, we'll get Morbius. And we've made jokes about this Morbius movie. I think, you know, 2 weeks ago, we talked about it again when it got delayed again, or 3 weeks ago. And we were making jokes about it getting delayed and how it seems like it's gotten delayed a bunch. This article that we have linked here, it actually highlights the fact that this movie, Morbius, has now been delayed more times than New Mutants,
which was astounding.
They had that motherfucker in the can for a long time.
I don't know, man. So, I think there's some comic book conspiracy against Jared Leto. somebody in the movie fucking business just doesn't want him to be a major comic book character at all.
I mean, maybe. All I know is,
Your artsy ass on somewhere. We're trying to make fluff here, folks.
But the initial critics we've gone and seen, the really early screenings, just for the sake of the written critics there, not received well. Very much saying that it's boring, and
do we really expect much purpose more,
and stuff? And that's kind of where early critic reviews oftentimes hate it. Even the article talks about, like, I think the critic score for like Venom was 30%. That didn't change. That didn't stop a bunch of people from liking that trash movie.
No, it didn't.
I would have been in that 30% of Rotten Tomato score on the critic side if I was.
You know,
a critic.
You know what saves this movie? You know what saves this movie is if at some point he's a vampire and he's flying around the fucking city and you just see Wesley Snipes standing somewhere in the background. You give a brief flash of Wesley Snipes standing in a black trench coat, saves a movie. Like,
did you say Wesley Snipes? Are you, you're not even gonna give it to Mahershala?
No, not yet. He hasn't released. He's not official. It's not official yet.
I mean, it's official. He's going to be it
if they release it and not delay it for 2, 3, 4 years. Like,
he voiced Blade in the Eternals.
Okay, so I guess technically
he's in there. He's in there. It's the movie's probably gonna do okay. I doubt it's gonna be a great movie.
No, I don't think anybody's gonna. Numbers wise, nobody's going to see this movie. I'm gonna be in an empty theater.
Leto, I guess there's like leaks that this does have tie-ins to Spider-Man and stuff. So it's like they're doing everything they can because it's got zero buzz online. Nobody's talking about this movie. Nobody wants to see it. So let's just talk about Spider-Man. Let's talk about anything we can. And I'm waiting for like the critics' reviews and a lot of the articles are coming out saying that, Marvel's got a flop on their hands with this one. I'm waiting for when Marvel's like, Sony's got a flop. when Marvel just subtly reminds everybody that this isn't us.
Yeah,
like Kevin Feige's going to come out. And just
you
be
better
like,
check what intro was in the beginning of that movie.
So I don't know. I'll probably go see it because I want to see what happens
exactly. Like, I really hope you see it the week it opens, because if it is that bad, like, I want to have that conversation on the podcast. I want to have that conversation. I don't want it to be one-sided.
All right, well, let's see. But we got another week between now and that, because it's April 1st release date, I think. I don't know, but no, we can continue moving on. We got one other story in movie news, Jason. We talk about Spider-Man. I saw this on a headline. It was just funny to me. That the headline reads as Charlie Cox's rude movie theater did not cheer for him during No Way Home. And I was thinking, how dare you call that movie theater rude? Like,
that's what I was going to say.
That is my place. That is where I belong. Like, I can understand, we criticize people who clap in movie theaters regularly and just say, and always the criticism is like, they're not there to hear you. Nobody hears your clap. They don't care.
He was there.
And then here's an instance where they care. I love the fact that nobody clapped.
Do feel bad in a way, even though we don't want to condone the cheering. Like, even I let out a like, yes. like that's all you get. That's all you get. Like a slowly muddled. Like I didn't yell it. I kept it to myself, you know. But you got 150 people going yes, like at normal speaking voice. It could get a little loud, I guess. And it takes 2 seconds, you know. So I feel bad for the guy that people weren't just like, holy shit, like no reaction, like. You know, but to me it was one of the highlights of the fucking film, like just to know that they are keeping him around, you know, like that. A lot of Marvel fans were really scared that with the whole transition that they were going to recast it or he wouldn't do it or whatnot. To see him actually in the film was just like this comforting moment in the movie where, you know, our franchise is going to be all right.
Yeah. Well, and it was like the best kept secret because for the most part, until that opening weekend, nobody really knew that was in there.
Yeah, they had to sneak that motherfucker around on the set like the Masked Singer or some shit.
Like, yeah, every other person in that movie was known. Like, there's no other surprises. That one, they was a good, well-kept secret. So, yeah, it's just, we don't need to go on about this one. I just find it funny.
It was good.
All right, let's move on. Last big part of entertainment news this week, and we've got the Amazon MGM merger, which is, I feel like we talked about this long ago. This has been in the work for a while. We first
mentioned it, yeah.
Now it's official. Amazon has bought out MGM for $8.5 billion and dropping the bucket for Amazon. And they just gained the rights to 4,000 movies and over like 10,000 episodes. They got James Bond. They've got Rocky now. They've got, you know, all the Stargate stuff. They've got Your Handmaid's Tale. Now they own that. There's a ton of properties, that you wouldn't necessarily like, you know, that Roaring Lion doesn't always kind of hit home on what is MGM and what's not. It's not like some of the other, you know, major studios where you just know what that is, but there's a lot that falls under MGM, especially when you talk about older movies. So curious on what Amazon's going to do there, what Prime Video is going to do with all those properties they just bought.
Yeah. Like Prime is one of the, like, I don't go to that app that often. Let's put it like that. Like when I'm looking for shit to watch, I don't go to Prime that often. We did kind of go over their list of like blockbusters not too long ago. You know, like I love Maisels. I love The Boys. You know, there's The Expanse is on there. Like there's some good heavy hitters. But when you think about the big names in online streaming, your go-to answer, you know, go ahead, name a streaming service now. Boom. It's like, Amazon Prime. Like, nope. Like, nope. Nope. You're going Apple TV. You're going Netflix. You're going Hulu. You're going one of the big names, you know. So, but I think this really, man, this might change that. There's going to be a shit ton of new movies and TV shows on there.
Yeah, it really will be. And like I said, there's just so much that they can pull from, so much IP that they can pull from and just create shows, create whatever they want out of it now.
Yeah, I can't wait till this all goes through and I sit for an hour scrolling through movies that I don't really want to watch that night. Like this is my perpetual problem. Like, let's watch something and then I scroll through all my apps for an hour and we don't end up watching shit. It's like, well, I just perused fucking every goddamn thing on here and I don't want to watch it. So thank you, Amazon, for jumping into that pool of nothings.
But, you know, this, in the end, it's just this is the future of entertainment, is everything's going to consolidate down to these handful of companies, handful of mainstream services, good either. And that's what we're going
to
get.
Yeah, which isn't good either. You know, we need these separate independent studios to be able to hold these major corporations accountable. You know, it's been going okay now, you know, but one day these people are just going to make a choice with your favorite franchise or your, you know, TV show that you're invested in. And there's going to be really no kind of like incentive for them to do better. Like it's, you know, we need these independent studios to put out like groundbreaking stuff, push the edge a little, you know, I mean, you couldn't have people smoke and you know, like people the Penguin didn't have a goddamn cigarette because of major corporate, you know, fucking focus groups and shit like that. Like, no, we need independent studios to keep pushing the edge, and without without that, they're, you know, these major corporations and they're kowtowing to major markets and any social movement that's going on, we're not going to have that kind of content. We're not going to have people that are willing to risk offending people or risk, you know, profit for the sake of art.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to get harder and harder. These deals are going to make it more and more difficult. And in the end, like, sure, you could be an independent studio and start your own stuff, but then you still have to pay to, or you have to hope to get a licensing deal that somebody's going to play these movies. And in the end, when they offer you $1 billion to buy out your IP instead of licensing it over a 5-year period or whatever else, and you get a slow trickle of money, I don't know. These buyouts are—they're just very tempting, apparently, for even these mainstay major, like, studios that have been around forever.
How hard is it to create your own website and then just charge $1.99 to watch it on your own private website?
It's probably not that hard to create it. It's just hard to get people to it.
I don't know.
That's the difficult part.
If it's good, people find it. If it's good, people find a way to watch it. Like, that's what Pirate Bay has taught us. If it's good, people will find a way to watch it.
Well, I don't think it's that easy, but we'll see. I mean, there's you know, we talk about independent stuff. You know, we'll talk about the crypto Web3 world. You know, there's people trying to do it through different media companies that are trying to build through crypto and through decentralized manners. So, I don't know, maybe. Maybe we do have a new kind of revolution towards it somewhere in the future. But
man, I ain't lying. I'm
no time soon.
I'm waiting for that first comic book movie funded by a DAO. I'll buy that token. Like, yeah, I will take that. It's like, man, the next Spawn movie, fucking crypto fund it, put it on the DAO. Like, let's do it. Give me something independent. Let the fans crowdsource it.
I mean, there are several. Several different media companies that are building DAOs or building relationships through or building up their IP and stuff like that through NFTs. You know, I own one, Deadheads, which is like the first. They're doing an animation series and they cast your NFTs back into it, and they own the overall rights to the Deadhead brand, but you own the rights to your character. And they're trying to make animation through that. There's a couple other ones that are doing animation. Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher have Stoner Cats, which is an animated series that they funded all through NFTs. And like, when you're a token holder, you can, it's like choose your own adventure as a token holder. You can vote on what the characters are going to do in the next episode, and then they animate it out and do the show. So like, there are approaches. A lot of it's on the animated side, although there is like a documentary being that was funded through MetaCitizen. So there's a couple, right? There's several that are attempting to do it now. Whether they can scale to be a competitor ever, man, that would be difficult.
Well, this isn't on like our entertainment section, but it's something that we both know. You know, Brandon Sanderson just had the largest Kickstarter ever. Yep. Because during the pandemic, he didn't tell nobody and he fucked around and wrote like 6 books like that were aside from his fucking contractual obligated fucking novels to write. He just fucking locked himself away in the pandemic and cranked out like 6 books, and he didn't know how to release them. So he said, fuck it, put it on Kickstarter. And it's the largest Kickstarter ever. You know, yeah. So you get like a name like that, you know, like fucking Guillermo del Toro wants to take some obscure independent comic and fund it, you know, crowdfund it through a DAO or whatever. Like, it could be easily done and huge if it's just the right property with the right creators. You know, it's like, I think Brandon Sanderson just kind of proved that, is that if you have a fan base, you don't need a fucking MGM. You don't need a fucking Amazon, a Netflix. If you got the fan base and you got the content, man, if you build it, they will come.
Yeah, I think that we're getting closer to a world where people have a better tolerance for that. And the systems are aligning themselves a little better to be able to do that, to support people directly in kind of unique ways. And I think the crypto world's going to do it. We'll get back to crypto.
Yeah, I said the word NFT a little too early.
I know,
Ken,
I know.
Ken just fucking runs with it.
I mean, we could just keep going with it.
We can switch a little around on this outline.
That's fine. Let's call this our tech transition into NFTs. And I got a lot of thoughts on this next topic. I'll try not to go on too long. But it is huge news. Even if you're not into NFTs fully, but you're, if you're listening to this, I'm assuming you're at least aware of what's going on, and really like the a couple of the biggest events in the NFT space took place over the last week, week and a half. And that was with All Around the Bored Apes ecosystem and Yuga Labs, who owns the IP to Bored Apes, are the ones who develop it. And the first one was Yuga Labs bought out CryptoPunks and MeeBits, which CryptoPunks and then Larva Labs made MeeBits as well. So the CryptoPunks and MeeBits together. And in the end, like they bought that out. Who knows how much they spent on it. But like CryptoPunks and Bored Ape were competing for just, you know, the absurd amounts of money at the top. And there was two completely, one of the interesting things that, like, for me, being into the NFT space and very much a nerd about it, what's really interesting about that one is, yes, it's a massive acquisition. And it's kind of like, you know, in the sense, CryptoPunks were the OGs, Bored Apes were the newcomers, but big. And it's kind of like, you know, I don't know, Adidas buying Nike at that point, right? They both have plenty of money.
Yeah.
Number two bought number one at that point in time. And really, you could argue who was number one or whatever else. But in the end, CryptoPunks had its own absolute identity. And what's really weird about that one is it really goes against the ideals of what CryptoPunks was. Whereas Bored Ape was always about like counterculture and really like building out itself as a brand and having merchandise and having all these things and you know, future applications and future stuff. And CryptoPunks was all just about being like, nah, we're just NFTs. We're just crypto. Like, you don't have any IP rights. You don't have anything.
It shows you like what, like, everybody's got their price, right? Like, at some point you make enough money to where you don't want to do this anymore. I want to golf all year round, or I want to sit on this boat. I want to nestle my head on these brand new fake boobies that I'm able to fucking acquire because I'm a dork and just hit it big, man. Like
yeah. So the interesting thing about CryptoPunks though is that, like, that's the ideal of what CryptoPunks always was. But the individual owners of the CryptoPunks, they don't have control of the IP rights, right? They don't have the copyright of their images. So what ends up happening is Larva Labs then sells it. The individual holders who hold that identity as like, hey, we are the crypto pure OGs, like we don't fuck around with anything else. Like this is just our status symbol.
The long term hodlers.
They got it sold. They got in the end, like, they're going to benefit from being in the Bored Ape ecosystem and all the other stuff. But like, I don't feel bad for them at all.
No,
but
you're really mad about it. Sell your shit for half a million. Yeah. Walk like
it was such a move counter to what the whole identity of that program is. And it just goes to show, like, going forward with NFTs, there's a big debate about CCO, which is the copyright, who owns the IP, who owns the rights to that character, right? To that NFT. CryptoPunks wasn't that way.
You make a t-shirt out of there. My NFT and I don't get a cut, I'm salty. Like, I'm fucking salty. Like, if my Bored Ape is the one that is on tons of t-shirts and I see some fucking 12-year-old buying a Bored Ape t-shirt or rocking it to school and like I have that NFT in my wallet, man, I'm taking that t-shirt from that kid and kicking him down. Like, give me that shit, punk. I reserve the rights.
But you know, to get to the story or the other topic that really we wanted to get to in this is, you know, that was a big acquisition that happened, and it like, you can't really call it a monopoly in the NFT world or whatever else, but like it's moving in that direction closer than anything else, in the sense that the biggest IP properties have now consolidated under one developer, one brand, through the Bored Apes. And then they did that days before then they launched what everybody knew was coming eventually, was this ApeCoin. So they launched their own cryptocurrency that they had an incredibly smart launch about it, which can't be kind of overstated as far as the fact that it was available on almost every exchange on day one, within hours of it launching, the way they structured it, how much they gave to their actual holders versus how much they kept in the treasury. So that way the holders couldn't just kind of tank the entire value, because really they didn't hold enough to completely tank it, even if they all sold out.
But they had enough to instantly sell it and make a shit ton of money, you know, like, yeah. When this ApeCoin dropped and I saw how many tokens that all the NFT holders are getting, it kind of reminded me. So I was working at UPS when UPS went public, and, you know, UPS for a long time in the union gave their workers and their drivers stock options as, you know, fucking bonuses and stuff like that. So I remember being in them sweaty ass fucking trailers, and the day they went public, we're talking thousands of UPS drivers instantly, you know, got like $300,000 worth of stock. Like the minute they went public, all their stock shot up to six figures, and you just had this mass exodus of UPS drivers and workers and shit. And that's a lot of what it felt like for this coin drop. You know, they instantly dropped this coin, like you said, on every major exchange, which is a feat in itself. You know, everybody, there's coins I believe in that I still can't buy on regular exchanges. Like, for them to get on all on every exchange, is a big deal. But you have to realize that's the power of a company like that buying you, right? Like, if I don't even know if they weren't bought out, if they would be able to pull something off like that, even though they are like the most popular NFT. And like, I don't know if Coinbase,
Yuga Labs is the one who put out the coin. They're the one who bought out.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So like, if Bored Apes wanted to do it themselves, like if Unilabs wasn't behind them, I don't think they can do a rollout like this. I don't think they have the tokenomics to push that kind of thing.
It does just show how widespread their connections and stuff are, that they were able to jump through all those hoops, get through all the audits, get through all the stuff in the background before anybody really knew anything that was going on, to where all these exchanges were willing to trust their coin on day one. And it just shows how connected they are in the space. And not to mention, like, these exchanges wanted a piece of that kitty too, right? Like, they wanted fees.
They knew that people were going to ape into this shit and fucking and just buy it up.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a big deal for crypto, though. Like, it's showing that it is becoming more mainstream, that, you know, this is kind of news. Like, I have other NFTs that have utility tokens associated with their projects. Nobody knows what smoke is. Nobody knows, you know, like, what the blood token is. Like, they have value, but like, this shit launched at what, like $6 a fucking token?
It launched at like 15, fell down to 6, went back up to like 15. I think today it's sitting at about $12 a token. $12 a coin, and
you know, there's solid fucking companies that go public that don't launch their stock options at that high. You know what I'm saying? Like,
in the end, it's a fascinating case as far as like what the potential of like these NFT ecosystems can be, what they can do as far as building themselves as a brand, and then taking that brand and expanding it into other ways, like a token. And then in this, the token gives you voting rights in a DAO, and the DAO is going to do a lot of things. They've talked about starting their own NFT marketplace, which, like, even if they started their own NFT marketplace and only sold the five properties that they own, the Bored Ape Kennel Club, the Mutants, the Bored Apes, Meebits, and Punks, normally those five are in the top 10 on every chart's daily volume. So that means they're taking the vast majority of the volume out of OpenSea, the main NFT marketplace, if they just made a marketplace only for their own internal stuff and didn't sell anybody else's stuff. So they've got huge potential if they do that. And one of the interesting commentaries and like the article that we have shared is whether this is a good thing or whether this is a good sign. And I just think it's fascinating that even in this world of decentralized finance and crypto and NFTs and all the ethos that goes along in the space, these last couple moves that largely people are celebrating, this buyout of the other one, right? It looks very much like an Amazon buying MGM. It looks very much like you know, these classic mergers that you see in traditional financial systems. And then you look at like the consolidation of money that even took place in this coin, where, yes, don't get me wrong, like, Bored Apes has only been around for a year, right? So there are people who bought it a year ago for $150, and they diamond handed the hell out of that, and now they just got ApeCoin for, you know, $80,000 worth of ApeCoin or whatever else because they did that. And man, that is life changing. That is awesome for the people who did that. But the truth is, the vast majority who have those apes going into this ApeCoin at this point in time were people who were buying it at 60 ETH, 50 ETH, 100 ETH, 120 ETH, right? Justin Bieber at 555 million or 555 ETH, right? Those are the people who are buying these now. It's not the broke college kids who threw some money at crypto and they just struck it rich. So the consolidation of money, the people who are being airdropped all this money now, it's consolidating into just more and more rich people. It looks a lot like traditional finance and traditional world, and it's not this revolution that kind of we all hoped it would be decentralized and down to the people. It's like, no, it's actually looking a lot like traditional. It's looking a lot like normal business practices here.
So, of course, traditional is going to find a way to weasel their way in and take a large portion of the pie. But I do believe that just as SoundCloud and a lot of others places made it easier for independent music artists to get their content out and stay independent and put their in and make money without signing a major record label deal where you had to sell your soul. I mean, Chance the Rapper's, the kind of model for that kind of shit. I think that will always be there with crypto. You're going to have these big companies scoop up shit and do the money grabs, but I think you're never going to be able to stop a up and coming artist from just making something people love and doing it without them. You know, there's too much power in that quantity of money for us to be able to block them out completely. But I don't think with this system that these major corporations are going to be able to come in and say, this is our playground now. Get the fuck out.
I don't know. I think it's just interesting. And that's why, like, again, I like to talk more about the social commentary of this stuff. Like, I'll talk about the nerd aspects of the NFTs and the technology or whatever else. But I like, in this instance, I just like the social debate about whether this is just, you know, is this Web 3, well, this change into this stuff, is it really Web 3? Is it just kind of like Web 2.2? And it's just a slight shift, but it's the same ideals and ethos. It's going to be the same companies that are going to come in and dominate. You look at, like, Bored Ape did it this time. But, you know, Nike bought Artifact and these other NFTs before. It's starting to show kind of this culture of almost what looks like, you know, in the tech sector of startups that, hey, they just create themselves a brand. They create themselves a usable app, a usable something, and then they allow somebody else to exit them out of it. But that's the ultimate goal. And how many of these NFT projects are, you know, their founders are saying that it's their passion project and they're going to be here for the long run to market this and build a great community with their NFT holders or whatever else. But really all they're doing is just building cute pictures and whatever else that's brand adjacent to something else. And they're shopping it for a merger or for a buyout. And it's just like the tech space. And it's no different.
Well, I mean, before we move on from tech and NFTs, like, I hope it stays so the little guy can keep making, because those that listen to the show and our loyal fans, I would like to let you know that Pitiful Penguins exist. Pitiful Penguins exist. I have seen them. We have a friend of the show, an artist, working on our Pitiful Penguins. This will be a thing. Mark my fucking words. Right now, Pitiful Penguins is a thing. And man, Unilabs, you want to come roll through? You come roll through. I'll sell out. Like, I'll tell you that right now. Like, don't hop in my Discord talking about you was supposed to be with us. Like, nope. Y'all, we'll take that money. But yeah, I'm very excited that I actually have had eyes on multiple Pitiful Penguins at this point. And yeah, like, this is the Cantina. We are going to do this and keep posted.
We'll see.
Fuck that dude. All right. Like, if he wants out, he can have out. Fuck that dude. I'm telling you right now, this is going to be a thing.
I mean, the penguins, they were cracking me up.
They're so dope.
Drawings are pretty phenomenal.
You can't tell me you've bought things that aren't dumber than Mr. NFT wallet.
I absolutely have.
You have aped into way worse shit. I've seen it.
My wallet's public. If somebody wants to go check out all the NFTs that I've bought, I've got some doozies in there. Yeah. And which is why I know what we would have to do to not be that. And so we got work to do. It's more than just Pitiful Penguins. That's for sure. anywho, let's move out of my ranting about NFTs for this week. And we've got just some tech news. In general tech news, we can talk real fast about some killer drones. And we just keep throwing back in this last month now that we've had a war in Ukraine going on, and just kind of where it intersects with interesting kind of techs, emerging techs, whether it's on the cyber front. This time it's on the AI front, where there is a Russian weapons company that they have found kind of the scattered parts of shot down ones and ones that didn't necessarily go off, but these drones that have a wingspan of about 4 feet, and they fly entirely autonomously. They just get launched out of like this little platform. They look kind of like little jets, and they can travel pretty far, can fly for like an hour, and then they have optical like sensors on them that uses AI that you can tell it to essentially look for a certain type of vehicle or look for a certain type of thing. And then the AI can hover around, fly around, and when it sees it, it can go target it itself. And that comes into question. We've talked about AI weapons in the past, and like the UN still to this day not having what's the acronym I think is called the law. Like they're still debating on what a lethal autonomous weapon is. And
something without a human that kills somebody, okay?
Yeah, like, the fact that they can't...
It's in the fucking name.
They're still debating on what should be rolled up under that term. Meanwhile, you know, the next major conflict that's happened is using them, but there's no treaties, there's no international regulation or anything that comes out and says, like, hey, there has to at least be a human being that makes that final decision. It can't be a computer that makes that final decision. Well, we haven't gotten to that point, and we don't necessarily have confirmed truth that that's what Russia is doing with these right now. But we know that weapon has the capability. We assume that Russia's doing Russia, and like they're using it to its full capability in Ukraine right now, some significant amount. But it does
fall into like a weird kind of like place. Like, so when it comes to war, in order to kill other humans, I have to have a human on my side risking their life also. Like, it has to be an even possible human exchange. Like, what are we shooting for?
That's not where the laws are trying to get to. The laws are trying to get to a point where should there have to at least be a human on the other side watching it on a camera that says yes.
And that's what I mean. Like, it's like, what's the difference over, you know, a highly trained, you know, like the best drone flyer sitting in a room, like our number one drone pilot, you know, is an AI that distinguishable, like that much more distinguishable than the best human drone pilot that is in a, you know, a simulator somewhere perfectly safe. Like, I, you know, we're
so it's great, like, ethical debate in the sense of, you know, should future militaries be able to throw up 1,000 drones at once that all just hang out, and the drones make a decision on what they determine to be a member of the enemy's military?
I mean,
right?
Like, yeah, I'm not or taking a side vehicle here. I'm just thinking out loud, like, what's the difference between this and a missile? I shoot a missile's got a target. This thing just flies around a little bit longer.
You know what's the sad truth? Is realistically, the AI systems are going to probably be more accurate over time. Right.
Yeah. The AI systems are shoot missiles all the time to take out civilians.
They're going to be better at identifying and tracking, you know, an actual military vehicle being used for military purposes or whatever else. Because you can throw up 100 of them at once. They can all track the same things and from multiple angles and communicate. Like, there's potential that it could be more accurate. The ethical decision, should we even get to that point? Like, should we always keep a human who has to make that decision and be a part of that process?
Well, you can make the real argument that, that AI will save more civilian lives. We have tons of civilian losses in this invasion right now. If putting the AI in may make our military more devastating without taking losses on this end, but also stop, you know, civilian losses. Cause like, isn't that like kind of the argument? Like, hey, look, we're going to try to blow up these fucking tanks anyways, right? Like this fucking convoy, this fucking whatever the fuck that we're targeting in whatever war, we're going to try to take that out. Don't you want us to use the tools to take that out that don't, you know, have a human error of typing a 1 instead of a 0 and having this missile hit a mile off in a fucking school zone? You know, don't we want the program that is going to fly the plane that doesn't accidentally, you know, take out a hypothetical nuclear plant? Let's, like, that'll never happen, right? Like, I get it that We don't want superpowers being able to just create mass devastation without any kind of like risk to themselves involved. But at the same time, don't we want massive superpowers to be able to ideally defend fucking things without creating massive amounts of civilian casualties and unneeded devastation? Like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know where to sit on this. Like, I see both conundrums. You know, I'm almost leaning towards the side of less civilian casualties. Like, let that fucking computer figure it out and blow up that tank without killing somebody's grandma two blocks away.
It's going to, like I said, the technology is obviously available. Russia has it. Everybody has it. It's actually probably a pretty simple problem to solve right now when you're trying to figure out, like, okay, well, you know, we have cars that can spot human beings walking across the street and brake. Well, how hard would it be to train a system to just say,
you know,
that's a tank?
You know who's writing these articles and who really gives a shit about this? The fucking boomers with Top Gun hard-ons that think that people should be dogfighting in the air, and when you shoot down a plane, there should be somebody that you take out with it, and like you're taking all the fun out of it. Like, I don't want to go up in the air and shoot down robots. It's like target practice. Like, I want to kill Goose. Like, you fucking, you savage motherfucking boomers.
I mean, talk about another movie that's been rescheduled a bunch.
When's yeah, no shit, coming July. Out? Like, man, I've been waiting. Top Gun and IMAX is on my fucking to-do list this year.
But, no, again, I like the...
With this war in Ukraine, it might delay that motherfucker to Christmas now.
Jesus, yeah. like there's another one of those topics. Like I said, the tech of it's fascinating, but it's actually kind of mundane tech now. The autonomous system, pair it with some AI, you know, sensors, and there you go. You got an AI weapon. But the social implications of it is what I find personally fascinating. So let's move on and let's do a couple space topics as we round out the show here, and a couple coming out of SpaceX and Elon's world. First, we've got some updated dates from him. First article we have has where Elon gave an updated date, timeline that he's looking at to land people on Mars. And it's later than he initially said.
Yeah.
Damn it, Elon, you missed the mark. You're a disappointment.
if the Cybertruck told you anything, like, it's the day of no shame in delaying.
But they'll take your deposit first.
Yeah. took them Benjis, though.
But yeah, so the plan or the thought on when he can get people to Mars surface is now 2029, compared to, I think he first said he was going to try to do it in 2024, then pushed to 2026, and now he's making a rollback all the way to 2029, keeping it in the 20s though.
So like, I don't really understand the delay. They're not coming back. Like, so, like, why can't we just shove 8 people in a jet with as much food and water as we can? And, you know, like, everybody on that motherfucker knows it's a suicide mission for the good of science. Well, the goal is that
they never come back, but it's not a suicide mission, right? Like, that's the goal here.
For real. For real. Like, you are the new modern day explorers. You know what I mean? Like, I just...
Yep. Let me brace myself for this analogy.
with saying that and thinking like 500 years in the future, what if we send 8 motherfuckers to Mars and then like 500 years from now they're treating these motherfuckers like Columbus? Like you didn't discover shit. There's always shit here. You fucking savages killed everybody when you landed. I just had this like vision of some Martians 500 years from now taking down like fucking SpaceX statues and fucking changing SpaceX Day to fucking Indigenous Martian Day. Oh, I'm a dick.
Yeah. Well, we won't get there before 2029.
I want to see all this go down, man. I really do. I hope they fucking they live stream it on some website so I could watch it like a TV show. Like send 8 astronauts and a 6-man documentary crew. Fuck them dudes too. Like send them up, some guy that's willing to kill himself for a Pulitzer, and like give me the whole fucking thing. Season 1, Martians, done, in the can. Let's go.
Well, and then the other update coming out of Elon was an update to the Starship, which for a while there, it was like they were blowing up a Starship every other week, and they were like aggressively testing them, doing the flop testing where they were just sending it up and then letting it, you know, fall and testing its landing system and everything else. And then really, you haven't heard from Starship in a while.
Well, because they stopped blowing up, obviously. So we didn't care.
Well, they stopped. I haven't even seen the launch test and the landing test and stuff in months where they were doing it at a pretty regular pace. Well, we got an update, and this one's now sooner than you would think. They're looking at doing the first orbital flight of a Starship. And Elon's saying he thinks they're on track to be able to do it in May. They're churning out the Raptor 2 engines that they need. They have plenty of them. They'll have roughly 39 of those engines ready by May. And they're looking at hopefully by the end of May to do their first orbital flight.
I'm telling you, man, they're rushing this up because there's going to be a stranded American in a space station in like 3 fucking months. Elon's just prepping for that shit right now.
They already have the pods that have gone to the ISS and back already. Like, that exists. Starship is completely different. This is because fucking China keeps finding the marbles on the moon, and he wants to put boots on the moon and go get the marbles. That's what it's really about. But yeah, so that's the two updates coming out of SpaceX. We got a longer delay to go to Mars, but maybe a sooner orbital flight and Starship flight to get us to the moon. And then the last little bit of space news, some positive news. We've got the James Webb Telescope. They've got the mirrors aligned. James Webb Telescope is operating. They're doing some basic test ones. They had it lined up and looking at a star that was kind of just like an insignificant star as far as they were concerned. It's kind of it's a lighter one. They were just doing it, pointing it out to that star and letting it capture the images just to test how well the mirrors were working. And then even the scientists were like, they were like astounded by the amount that was captured by the James Webb Telescope, which they anticipated that it was going to be a huge improvement to Hubble and everything else. And in the end, the light that it was able to capture from this star that was relatively not very bright to any other systems that we have out there. And then not only that, but the new galaxies and things that it picked up that were just previously specks that you could almost not see at all, that not even focusing deeply at those things, just the extra stuff that it caught in the field of view because of how accurate those mirrors are in James Webb telescope is, it's gonna crack open the mysteries of the universe, that's for sure.
Yeah, we'll get a lot of more space articles from these discoveries. You know, like it's only a good thing. The more we know, the better the pictures. You know, like it's always one of those things where they're like, scientists discover, you know, black holes, blah blah blah, and they post the picture and it's this blurry, like, how do you discern anything from that motherfucker? And like they have to go on like a half hour, 45 minute explanation on how they figure out what's what on these pictures, you know, like it will be cool to have some of that clarity and see what else these scientists can deduce from these photographs.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens here and see how when they start like publishing images, right? I think they're still kind of doing testing before they'll start really taking kind of those like breathtaking images and then start sharing it out to the world. But it's incoming soon. But that's a week in news. That's it. That's all we got.
Do the things. Like, share, yep. Tell a friend, buy a shirt, do something.
Get ready for pitiful penguins.
Man, mint date TBD. Mint date TBD. Bro, I'm not fucking around. I'm talking about getting a nerd cantina booth at C2E2. Fucking seriously. Sitting there with Matt's ass. You know, like, this is legit. We have an actual Marvel artist drawing fucking pitiful penguins. Like, we have a following, a small following, but a following, you know, like you're so asshole deep in NFTs. We could do some Twitter space with somebody like fucking.
Like. No, I've got ideas.
People have done dumber things. People have done dumber things
for sure. Like I've bought them.
And we talk about and we are involved in the NFT too community too much to not have some fun drawings ourselves. And honestly, bro, these things, I love them. Like, I fucking love them. Matt came over the other day, man, and I made a really hard pitch. And then 2 days later, he's coming with some pictures. And I was like, I finally got him. I finally got him. I got him.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see what we release over the time. But until then, do the things, join the community, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.